And that's the subject of my lesson this morning, raising the question, are you spiritually minded? And I appreciate Brother Kent reading the text for us from Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. The King James Version, and I think Brother Kent used the English Standard Version, does use the phrase spiritually minded, and I like that. And that's what I would like to think about with you this morning. How far would you be willing to go to ensure that you are a spiritually minded person in the eyes of God? That is a question that we all have to deal with. We all have to grapple with that struggle of living in the world and yet rising above the world as our Lord did to be spiritually minded. You know, some go to high school and finish high school, and at that point in their lives, they're tired of going to school. And they want to go out and find a job and go out and do something interesting. And a lot of people choose to do that. Some people go on to college. And by the time they finish 4 years of college, they're tired of going to school. And they want to get out and do something different. You just get tired of things. Do we get tired of spiritual things? I certainly hope that we do not. I certainly hope that we view our lives in a spiritual way, as if we are sharpening our skills, honing our skills, and that as we continue living as Christians, we become more and more spiritually minded. My mother took up pottery at a later age in life. And one of her first projects was, and I appreciated her so much for this, making a coffee cup for me. And I love to look at that coffee cup. It reminds me of my mother and her first project. Yes, it's not professional. It has a wobbly lip to it. It has a crooked handle to it. But I love it. It fits my hand perfectly, and it reminds me of my mother and her desire to work with pottery and hone her skills to make something very good. I have coffee cups that she made later that you would look at and say, what store did you buy that in? I would like to buy one like that too. Because she had sharpened her skills. And she could do a lot of good things and sell a lot of things that she made on a pottery wheel. She had to sharpen her skill. It took her time. Being spiritually minded will likewise take great effort and determination on our part, especially since we have a spiritual enemy that's bombarding us every day trying to defeat us from having a spiritual mind. It'll make no difference how many years you spend in school. It won't make any difference how talented of an artist or craftsman you turn out to be in life. What will really make the difference is, did you become a spiritually minded person? That's what makes the difference. In Psalm 42, for example, one scripture we could look at, and we sing a song that uses these words, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You read those words from the psalmist, and you get a different picture. You get the picture of a person who is definitely spiritually minded. And sometimes we might read a passage like that and think, that person's not at all like me. Or we might think, I wish I were more like that person. I wish I could feel what that person feels. A spiritually minded person does. The psalmist yearned for God deeply. This was a person who, according to the instructions of Jesus, was hungering and thirsting for righteousness. It moved him to tears in verse 3 of that passage. It is as if he would die without God. Now that's a spiritually minded person. Wouldn't you agree? Is this craving true of us? It could be. It needs to be. Because we have great difficulties to overcome in this life. You know, there are great threats to our becoming spiritually minded. And we could sum that up by saying sin is the great threat to our becoming spiritually minded. Carnality. Things opposed to God. Things that appeal to the flesh. That sometimes dominates our choices in life, where we choose something carnal over something spiritual. One of the reasons we're just bombarded with it all of the time. But we learn in the scriptures that the spiritually minded person produces fruit. And we appreciate spiritual things. In Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22, Paul tells us what sort of things would be characteristic of a spiritually minded person. He doesn't use the phrase spiritually minded, but you get it. The fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit that you will cultivate in your life when the Word of the Spirit dwells in you richly are things like this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, well, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. He says in verse 24, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You see, Paul knew that those people had a struggle on their hands also to be spiritually minded in a carnal world. It's tough. It's not easy. Not easy at all. Because, as Paul indicates also in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 19, the deeds of the flesh are evident. Everybody knows these. They're evident. Well, what are some deeds of the flesh? Help me understand, Paul. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, Paul says, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the carnal mind. We don't want that mind. But it's fighting us every day to develop this way of thinking. A spiritual man is filled up with the Word of God, just as Jesus was. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and accomplish His work. Would you say that Jesus was a spiritually minded person? I would. I'd say he's the number one person to look at if you want a spiritual mind. And what did he say? What sustains him? What is his drive? What is his great desire? My food is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work. What a great standard that is for you and I. Spiritual people, spiritually minded people, do what we have done. And what we will do again this morning. Spiritual people express themselves in spiritual songs, don't they? Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18, verse 19 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That's what spiritually minded people do, isn't it? The heart expresses itself spiritually in songs. What do you do when you're happy? James says, when you're happy, sing. Because it's the melody of the heart. And spiritually minded people express themselves in spiritual songs, praising God and letting Him know the joy that's in our hearts in living for Him. And that's the way that God made us. Why can any of us sing at all? God made us that way. And even if some of us miss a note or two, we can still sing. That's the way that God made us. Spiritual people appreciate spiritual provisions that are available in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. What do we have in Christ? That we diminish sometimes, that we sometimes we forget about, sometimes we don't think of, sometimes we don't appreciate like we really should. What do we have? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places available to us in Christ. Well, when did we deserve that? We didn't. We serve a gracious God, a loving God, a compassionate God, who pours out His rich blessings on us because we're spiritually minded. We fight the good fight of the faith. Is sin going to help us appreciate spiritual things more? Certainly not. Certainly not. You know what sin will do in fighting our desire to cultivate a spiritual mind? Do you know what it will do? It will kill your love for the Word of God. It'll kill it. Now, how do you feel about the Word of God? Do you love it? Or do you feel yourself having loved it greater in the past than you do now? Please let us encourage you to turn around. Sin will kill your love for the Word of God. Notice that James says in James 1 in verse 21, putting aside all filthiness. What's he telling these brethren to do? Practically living as a Christian and being spiritually minded. Put aside the filthiness. You've got to fight against the filthiness of this world. Because every day you're bombarded with it in one way or another. James says you've got to put it aside if you want to be a spiritually minded person. All the filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. And when you do that, what then? Be a humble person in humility. And what do I do with that humility? You receive the Word of God. Receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls, he says. In verse 25, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law, after describing a person who goes to a mirror and looks at himself and sees a blemish and doesn't correct it. When you look intently into this perfect law, the law of liberty, and you abide by it, not having become a forgetful hearer. You see, you want that spiritual mind, so don't forget the Word of God when you look at it. Don't just hear it. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't hear it on Sunday and then Monday you've forgotten all about it. Don't do that. That's going to defeat your attempt to have a spiritual mind. But be an effectual doer. And this is the man who's blessed in what he does. James says, very practical letter. The Word of God is designed to reflect us the way that God sees us. Have you ever thought, I wonder how God sees me? You ever wonder about that? How God sees you? You don't have to wonder about that. Look into the mirror of His Word. That's how He sees you. Because His Word reflects you right in your face. And it shows you every flaw. It shows you areas where you're strong and it shows you areas where you're weak. And that's the way that God sees you. Because you look into His Word. It shows us every flaw. Would you think that many sinners stop looking into this spiritual mirror of God's Word because they really don't want to see how ugly sin is in their lives? I think that's true. I think, based on the number of people I've talked to, they don't want to look in the Word of God because it reveals too much about their lifestyle, and they know it's darkness. And they know they are guilty before God. And they'll usually give you some lame excuse as to why they won't put forth the effort to be spiritually minded. People are taught from an early age, aren't they, to improve the way they look, to improve on their appearance in ways that they are able to do. For example, the cosmetics industry. In 2018, in the United States of America, the U.S. was considered the most valuable beauty and personal care market in the world. Well, how do you know that? Because they generated more. Approximately, get this now, listen carefully, $89.5 billion. $1 billion in revenue for cosmetics and personal beautification chemicals. Is that a lot of money or what? Doesn't that indicate to us that people are interested in improving the way that they look to other people? It does. It reveals something about human nature. And when people learn a little something about the Bible, don't they want to look good in front of you, especially if you mention Christ or the gospel to them? I know that's the case. How many people have I been around? Oh, I let that slip and he's a preacher. That's happened to me dozens and dozens of times, more than I can count. Well, if you don't mind me here, if you don't mind the Lord hearing it, what difference does it make if I hear it? That's the real question. That's the dividing line on the spiritual mind. And we've all got to fight the world, don't we? And it's a struggle. Sin will kill your love for the Word of God. So forsake the sin and embrace the Word of God. That's the answer. Sin will kill your self-respect. It certainly will. Sin makes people feel inferior to others as they view more righteous than themselves. And sometimes sin makes people feel like they're too sick for any remedy. Nothing can be done. I know I'm a stupid person, one guy told me. I know I'm an idiot. I know I'm going to hell. You don't realize what you're saying. I know there's some people in this audience that someone has said to you, I know I'm going to hell, but you don't know what hell is. If you know you're going there and you're going to do absolutely nothing about it, you don't know what hell is. You need to go back and read what the Lord said about it, and you need to meditate on that for a while. It's no fantasy. It's no comic book story. It's reality. Sin makes people feel like they're just too sick to cope with their spiritual darkness because their state goes from bad to worse. With sin, one never improves, never, unless he deals with that sin. And he's got to take it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a one feels worse and worse. And it becomes increasingly difficult to face God in that condition. And maybe that person has misconceptions about God. You think? There have been people that I have invited to this worship service that have said, my life is not right. I don't have any business there. Well, you most certainly do have business here. Especially if your life is not right. You need the Lord. You need what He offers you. And you can find forgiveness. We need to let people know that. You know, I've thought many times how great it would be if we would just put a sign out here in the front that said this. Had an abortion? You can find forgiveness here. And I wonder how many people would be interested in what's going on here, because there are a lot of people. Not every person who has had an abortion is going to march to protect that as being law in this country. There are people who have had an abortion that are trying to deal with their conscience. And they're trying to deal with their guilt feelings over the whole affair. And if they had it to do over again, they would never do it. And they stand against it. But what is to be done? Where are they to find forgiveness? Especially if they think that if they come here, they're going to be run off. Because we are so righteous. And we're not. This is a hospital. And we all need it. You know, sin will even kill your... I've mentioned talking to other people about the gospel, but what sin will do in your life, it will kill your love for lost souls around you. It'll kill it. Where you don't care if another person is lost or not. In Galatians 6 and verse 1, brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, and that could be any one of us at any time, couldn't it? You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. The spiritually minded are to do this. But hypocrisy has no love for the lost. One who refuses to repent has no interest whatsoever in bringing someone else to repentance. You see, we need to be spiritually minded, and if we're not, we'll lose our love for those who are lost in the world. Sin will kill any inclination that you have to worship the high and holy God. Well, how do you know that? The empty seats in this auditorium is one way to know, isn't it? Is it not typical that children will try to avoid their parents when they know they've done something wrong? Where's little Johnny? Why is Susie so quiet? You know what the next thing is, you mothers, don't you? Why is Susie so quiet? She must be into something. Right? And when you find little Susie, and you see that face with all that smeared lipstick and crayons all over the wall and markers, permanent markers. Oh, how am I ever going to get that off? Usually when they disappear, they don't want to be around their parents. Especially when they've done something wrong that we've told them not to do. Stay out of that drawer. Stay out of mother's lipstick drawer. When you miss those toddlers or when things go quiet, they have to be into something. If people know they're guilty of sin and will not correct it, do you think they will walk into the presence of God? Here I am. You know better than that, don't you? Because you know that that's not what Adam and Eve did in the garden. In Genesis 3 and verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why did they do that? Are they not showing what the rest of us would likely do? Do you find joy in praying to God when you're not willing to be penitent over wrongs that you've thought, said, or done? When you sing in the worship assembly, are those songs hollow to you? Are they really meaningless to you? Don't answer that question to me. I don't want to know the answer. I just want you to think about the answer to that question in terms of your own relationship to God, because there's a needle on a scale and it's an indicator to you. How spiritually minded are you? What kind of spiritual effort do you need to put forth to improve in the presence of God? That's all I'm asking. Is there something that you could improve on? Have you gotten to the point where, yes, you can sing the words to the song, but it's as if they don't mean anything to you? Or maybe it's you're thinking about something else. You're thinking about lunch or what are you going to do this afternoon or your work schedule for the week or any other thing. Any other thing. To defeat that spiritual mind. If you do not appreciate what the Lord has done for you on the cross, then taking the Lord's Supper will be nothing to you but ritual. And that's not a good thing. And what would you contribute to the Lord's work with such a heart as that? Be spiritually minded. You'll not sacrifice to the Lord if you refuse to become spiritually minded. You won't. And God is the Supreme Spirit, and when we deny God the adoration that He is due, it will kill us spiritually. It's that way by design. Well, I don't think I want to go to church today. You're on the verge of being dead. Well, I don't think I can make it today. How much effort are you going to put forth? Are you spiritually minded? You know, some people work harder at making excuses for why they're not here than it would actually take for them to be here. Don't they? I've lived long enough to know that that's true with a lot of people. Have you? We cannot survive spiritually unless we give our hearts to the Lord who has redeemed us. And if that cannot move me, and if that cannot motivate me, then I may have drifted a little bit too far. And I may not be able to come back to the Lord. spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. Well, what do I need to do to become more spiritually minded? Well, the first thing is, and there are a lot of things that we could mention from God's Word, but the first thing is, don't make any provision for the flesh. Romans 13:13-14, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. You see, the flesh fights against the spirit. There's a war going on. And this world is designed to appeal to the flesh and to suck you right in. And especially in the United States of America, where we have the right to do what we want to do. We must stop thinking carnally. No provision for the flesh. What does that mean? Do not make provision for the flesh. Do not plan ahead to fulfill the flesh. Do not provide opportunity for yourself to fulfill the flesh. Do not have forethought about how you are going to fulfill the flesh. That's what Paul's saying right here. And this requires us, does it not, to think ahead about the choices that we're going to make in this life? And doesn't it require that we stay away from any situation that may provide an occasion for us to engage in impure behavior? You're invited to a party and you know it's going to be a drunken bash. You're going to go? You going to make provision for the flesh? Well, I'm strong enough to, you think? Wonder how many times Adam and Eve thought in their minds, well, I'm strong enough to, one little rule, I can, you know, not eat the fruit off that tree. But Satan's at work, isn't he? Parents, are you providing for the flesh by allowing your children to enter the world of the internet? I just may have lost a lot of friends right there, making a statement like that. Unrestrained access to the internet is trouble. Trouble. Are we opening that up for our children? Are we letting them disappear into the bedroom so they can get on the worldwide internet and see and read anything they want? That's not the way to a spiritual mind. When shopping with daughters, what kind of clothing do you purchase? And how many times have we heard this? Well, that's all that's out there. No, it isn't. You're just not looking long enough. That's not all that's out there. And if you can't sew with a needle and thread and take up something that needs to be taken up, or let something out that needs to be let out, there are plenty of excellent seamstresses in this congregation. And in every congregation almost throughout the world. And there are older saints who are spiritually minded who will help you with that gladly. All you have to do is ask. And they would love to help you. Don't underestimate the appeal of the exposure of accentuated flesh. And young ladies and older women should seek counsel and advice from a spiritually minded man if they need it to decide if something is sensual or not that I want to wear. And too many times that has not been done. And don't forget to notice in verse 13, these two fleshly behaviors strife and jealousy. Do you realize that that's in the same context as sexual immorality? And horror over sexual immorality, but open doors for strife and jealousy. Why is that? It's the same carnal wickedness that's described in the pages of God's book, strife. Strife with your brothers and sisters. Just start up something. That's what you need to do in the Lord's body, isn't it? Strife. Press your opinion against another brother so that you can't sit down and talk about it. And keep stressing it so that other people will get fired about it. And before you know it, strife has caused a big rift in a local congregation. How do you ever mend something like that? Most people get frustrated and just walk out the door. Strife and jealousy. That's horrible. The Lord didn't place me in the body of Christ so I could have my way. And He didn't place you in the body of Christ so you could have your way. It's the Lord's body. May the Lord's will be done. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. Why am I here? The Lord put me here. Well, we don't want you here. We want you to go somewhere else. You ever heard those words from somebody? It's not pleasant to hear those things, especially from a brother or a sister in Christ. Strife and jealousy. People overlook that sometimes. Remind yourself of what the Lord said. Being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, serving the Lord. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Not merely looking out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. That's so very important, isn't it? Well, I've given you some notes to take home with you, and please give some thought to the remainder of the lesson on the back of the Family Matters. It's a good place to end right now. I don't want to tax your patience too much. But I want you to think about being more spiritually minded. We all need it. I do. You do. And let's encourage each other to be more spiritually minded. And you know the greatest blessing from that? The Lord God will be pleased. The Lord God will be pleased. Bless the name of the Lord today. May His will be done in our lives. May His will be done on earth. May we praise Him and extol His high and holy name. May we live for Him according to His precious word every day of our lives. May we encourage other people to do the same. May God bless you for being in our assembly today. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ to, as a penitent believer, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we'll be happy to assist you with that today. If that's your desire, please come to the front, tell me about it, and we will assist you while together we stand and sing the invitation song.